Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to another episode of the Skill Bro Show. This is Behind the Steel Curtain editor Dave Schofield coming at you. It's Tuesday night. It's a little after 9 o'clock, maybe even a little more than normal. And here with me, as always, it can't be a family show if you don't have family. It's my big brother, Rich. Rich, how's it going tonight?
Oh, that's me sniffling because there'll be no more breathing.
There'll be no more breathing. Well, there'll be no more breathing in the sweet smell of victory for, oh my goodness, what do you say? Seven months from now, probably. Yeah, probably about
first preseason game pops up. Yeah, somewhere around there.
So think about it. More than half the year is not Steeler games. Wow, and that's what we're entering right now. I'm sad. I'm saddened. I mean, and we admit, and people are like, "Oh, you really thought the Steelers could win that game?" I mean, I thought the likelihood wasn't there. It really wasn't. Did I predict the Steelers to win the game? Yeah, almost everybody predicted the game that did scores with us last week. Do you know why? Because we knew that the Steelers, it was possible if they put it all together right, that they could do it. And much
for
like
20 unlike, to 25 minutes, they did.
Exactly. But a lot like, no, I'm sorry, not a lot like, unlike Coach Tomlin in his press conference today, we're actually going to talk about the game a little bit. We're not going to spend the whole time talking about the game. We're going to also be looking forward. We're going to be talking about some of the things from that press conference today. But we are at least going to talk about the game. Coach Tomlin, he talked about the season, everything else. He usually comes out, gives a little recap of the game. Yeah, that didn't happen. But, you know, I don't know if you read what the other people on at Behind the Steel Curtain, when we give our staff predictions, I don't know if you go in and read the other ones. I generally try to at least look over them. But, I thought I was going out on a limb and said, you know, I'm actually going to take the Steelers because I don't think anyone else will. And here almost all of us did. And I think they all kind of had the same reasoning that I did. And I want to ask you if you kind of had the same reasoning as well. It's not like it was impossible for the Steelers to have won that game. A lot of things would have gone their way, and a lot of things were going their way. They just didn't pull together, and we'll dive into that more. But I'm like, they weren't supposed to be playing. When we had done the picks the week before, we weren't thinking that they were going to get to play in a playoff game, and they were. And my explanation was, if I'm not even supposed to be making a pick and now I'm getting to make one, why would I waste my time making a pick that doesn't bring me joy? So right. I'm going for joy. It was a bonus pick, much like it was a bonus game for the Steelers. And I think did you kind of feel the same way?
I made my pick not on what I really felt would happen. I made my pick based on, if the Steelers have a chance, this is the kind of game it's got to be, and this is what they would have to do to win, and this is the kind of game, the score they would win.
And you said it a week
and
ago.
I kept mine the same. Everybody out there that doesn't go and look at that article, I kept mine the same in the article as I did here on the show last week.
Yeah.
I didn't change.
And you were right with saying the Steelers got to ugly this game up.
I think it was hilarious. You want to know how many more
later after you did?
I was going to say, did you see how many other media places were saying that same thing as the week went on? They were like, oh, the Steelers
have to the Skill Bro Show.
Ugly it up or make this game, you know, they got to place, you know, it's got to be a sloppy game or, you know, they had all these different ways, but I'm like, they're saying the same thing I said. They must.
And I'll be honest with you. I mean, granted, you're my brother and granted, I follow Steelers media on Twitter and things like that. You were the first person that I saw phrase it that way. And I saw that people do it. But I'm not saying they copy you. I'm just saying,
it was
a good idea. I was accused of taking comments from one article on Behind the Steel Curtain in order to make my point counterpoint article that I did. There was only one problem. I wrote the article before the other one published to even see the comments. So it's not like I was taking other people's ideas. It's we all had the same good ideas. And you were exactly right. Ugly it up. They had a chance to do it. And by that dadgummit, they did.
Yeah.
For about a quarter and a half.
Yep.
You know, 20 to 22 and a half minutes. And then they didn't. And there's a lot of things about this to talk about. And some of the numbers with this I'm going to talk about on StatGeek on Thursday. But everyone made such a big deal about the Bills offense playing a perfect game against the New England Patriots. Why was it considered a perfect game?
Because in the Bills game, each time their offense stepped on the field, they scored a touchdown.
Yes.
Except for their last time their offense stepped on the field, they took three knees.
Yes. Every offensive drive where they ran an offensive play that was not a kneel down, any offensive play that was a kneel down, they scored a touchdown.
Yes.
How many drives did they score touchdowns on?
Seven.
Seven. The Chiefs scored touchdowns on six offensive drives. What percentage of their drives did they score touchdowns on?
Well, let's see. That would be doing the math in my head here real quick.
I'll tell you, it's 50%.
Oh, really? Because we did hold them to a punt on one in the second half. That's
there
right.
It was five they held them, six they scored touchdowns, and one they held them. It was 50%. If we came into the game and said, you know, the Chiefs are going to score on 50% of their drives, would you have taken that?
Well, yeah, and I said, hey, I said you could let the Chiefs score touchdowns on 50% of their drives, and I'll take that because that will be a score in the 20s.
Yeah, I mean, you were thinking 28 or maybe 28, but no, probably not even 20. I mean, think about that. 28, you're talking eight drives.
21.
Yeah.
Could have been 21.
Right there. And people were like, oh, the Steelers defense, they gave up 42 points. Okay, you did. Absolutely. They did. Oh, this is three straight playoff games giving up points in the 40s. Four straights of, 35 or 36 or more, something like that. An exact number there, which is true. But the reason that the Chiefs scored 42 points was because of the offense. I'll talk about this on. Well, maybe I can't anymore because we're going to talk about it here so much. The Kansas City Chiefs had not gone five consecutive drives in a game where they did not score points the entire season. Even when they lost 27-3 to Tennessee, they did not go five drives, excluding drives that only consisted of kneel downs, in which they didn't score points. What the Pittsburgh Steelers did to the Kansas City Chiefs to start that game defensively, no one else had been able to do all season.
Right. But the issue was that if you really want to then get technical and think about it, you know, did the defense have to burn through its entire game plan in the first half because they gave the ball because Kansas City got the ball so much because the offense couldn't hold the ball for more than a minute and a half because we just went three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't have to. I mean, let's say for example, you're like, you know, we're going to come up and we're going to do a little something different every drive to get us through three quarters of this game, you know, at least into the second half. And then we can even see what works best at halftime and reevaluate how we're going to adjust stuff. We're going to give them something new on every drive. Let's come up with something new for five drives. It wouldn't have mattered because and they would have worked. That now, granted, they cut two of those drives short. One of them, I mean, Kansas City had the punt return. They were 2 yards from the red zone, and the Steelers got the takeaway. The other one was only a one play drive. You have to admit, and the Steelers turned it into a touchdown. So on the TJ Watt scoop and score, but still, it's the whole idea that. If you're like, oh, well, the defense couldn't stop them and the offense. No, this game came down to the offense because personally for me, I just want to see if you agree with me here. I felt like the defense came out with a lot of fight and very inspired.
The defense
where the offense was so inept for so long. It was just a complete letdown. It looked inspired for so long.
It was just unsustainable when the offense was I was going to say doing what they were doing, but actually I would say when the offense wasn't doing anything.
Yeah. 44 freaking yards. I mean, we talked about bad halves for the Steelers, like in Minnesota, because it was so terrible that they got 63. And they did 44. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, people have said it. The Chiefs had almost as many plays in the first half on offense is what the Steelers had points. Not points. Sorry. Yards. Okay. The Chiefs had 40 plays and the Steelers had 44 yards. So, to me, there were a couple things in there that really turned this game. And bottom line is the Chiefs were the better team.
Oh yeah.
Everyone knew going into it, the Chiefs were the better team, but how many times, you know, especially on paper, how many times did the Steelers go into a game where the other team was better on paper and they still won the game this season? That happened a lot. That's why they were constantly being underdogs with everything. So one of the plays that I think was a really important play in this game actually came in the second quarter, and it was after the TJ Watt touchdown. Okay. TJ Watt scores the touchdown. The Steelers come out, or the defense comes back out, and the very next play, they got a 20-yard pass. You're like, okay, 20-yard pass. Okay. Then, you know, it's a 2-yard play. Then it was another pass for 14 yards. You know, they're moving the ball, but they're still at, you know, not even in field goal range. First and 10 at the Steelers 40. False start. First and 15.
Yep.
You still got a chance after giving up a couple plays to really come back. Steelers are up 7-0. To me, it was the Mahomes scramble for 23 yards that changed a bunch.
It did.
Not just because they got the yards. It's almost like it scared the Steelers. I feel like it scared them out of man coverage. Because you look at that play and it opens up all the secondary players, their backs are to the line because they're all playing man coverage. And in zone coverage, what's everyone doing? Looking forward. Mahomes, I mean, when they showed the end zone view of that, that was an obvious takeoff and run on that one. There was nobody on that side of the field, and he busts that out and runs for 23 yards. It seemed like after that, the Steelers were afraid to play man.
Yes. They basically quit playing man to the point where then we're giving up third and 20s because they're just going sitting down in soft spots in the zone.
Yeah, and my question is, so they busted the one play. Make them do it 5 times. Not just once. Make them do it 5 times before you give up on that. Because dadgummit, it worked for 5 drives. You know, and that was very frustrating. That play changed the game to me because that kind of changed everything with what the defense was doing. The other thing, not just one play, but that really changed the game was, my goodness, look at what happened. Kansas City ties the game. What did the Steelers do? 3-and-out.
Yep.
Kansas City gets the ball back. Takes the lead just inside of 2 minutes. What do the Steelers do?
3-and-out.
Kansas City gets the ball inside of 2 minutes, and they score a touchdown to end the half. Their touchdown play was more yardage than what the Steelers had for the entire half. The Steelers take a knee. Kansas City gets the ball to start the second half. Touchdown.
Now it's suddenly 28-7.
First play for the Steelers, fumble. Kansas City gets the ball, touchdown.
Yep.
Think about that. Kansas City went from a tie football game to up 28 points with the Steelers. Take the kneel down out of there with the Steelers running seven plays for no first downs. You could put it all on the defense for not stopping them, but your offense basically just kept saying, "Oh, great job, defense, to
go
start.
Back, we'll go do back nothing. To it. Go back
great
to
job,
it.
Great job, defense. You do nothing.
Back to work. There's a, back to work, defense.
And, yeah.
Hey, and defense, I mean, come back to work.
I mean, when you're the eventually, it's like, my goodness, what else? I mean, they spotted the offense 7 points. The Steelers defense did. And still nothing. There's a lot of big question marks with this offense going forward. It is huge. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But that's where I want to go. I'm sorry. I'd even bust on Jeff Hartman. I'm going to ask you this question. Was there any way you would have put Ben Roethlisberger in the winner's list for this game?
No.
No. And sorry, one Jefferson, Bartholomew, Hartman, but if you said...
When I read the article, the first thing I thought was, sorry, Jeff. No. Jefferson, Bartholomew, Hartman.
That was a participation.
Well, it's Ben's last game, and I'm a homer, so here you go.
And it was the whole thing of, well, a lot of other things went wrong, and it wasn't all on Ben Roethlisberger. I
understand that, but he wasn't a winner. Case. He was a loser.
But no. But guess what? Well, how many times has Ben had to overcome that before? And he has, but he didn't. I mean, it was a combination. And to me, saying that Ben Roethlisberger's a winner, going deep on third and short was on the loser's list. Guess what? I got news for you, Jeff.
That was
all Ben Roethlisberger. That's not Matt Canada drawing up that play. That's Ben Roethlisberger doing that. And he didn't even make very good throws for him.
No, he did not.
No. It was not good. It was ultimately not good. But my good – and people are like, how could you say the defense was when they give up 43 points? They gave up 42 points. If you look at the defense minus the last 2 minutes of the first half and the second half, just up to that point, they had played a game's worth of defense at that point. Okay, maybe not time-wise, but situationally, if you know what I'm saying. Even if you know, they're at least two-thirds of a game, if not that. If you look at that performance and you're just like, the defense is what got you here. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Steelers. Look at what the Steelers did in 2020. I mean, look at the games they won down the stretch, which was really nice they won the games. Okay, but okay, so what they do, let's go backwards. They beat Baltimore. They scored 16 points. They beat Cleveland. Oh, that was their big output. They scored 26. Okay. They beat Tennessee. They scored 19. They beat the Ravens again, going backwards. They scored 20. Okay. You have to go back to the Chicago Bears game, not even halfway through the season, for a game that the Steelers won where they scored more than 20 points. Other than... Wait, I forgot about that Browns game thrown in there. But the Browns is the Browns. But scoring 26 against the Browns. You know what I'm saying? And that was also the emotional Ben Roethlisberger last Heinz Field game. Yeah. It was just,
okay, and you brought up the Browns, so now I got to bring this up.
Okay.
Just wanted you to know.
All right.
There now. I didn't let it go.
Uh-oh.
I said something during the game.
Uh-oh, what'd you say?
Or right at the end of the game.
What's that?
To the tweet.
Oh, the Joe Thomas?
Oh, yeah, I responded.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that. But, yeah. But a lot of people like, you know, how can someone say that in all that time never had a playoff game?
I said, this coming from a guy who's never sniffed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, I bet one of those participation trophies would have made you feel pretty good. Probably would have been the highlight of your career. Well.
Yeah. And then, highlight of his career would have been to play a postseason game. I mean, look, Joe Hayden had to come to the Steelers to play in the postseason. But, of course, you know, all the Browns have done for forever is, you know, won one game against the Steelers in the playoffs last year, and now all of a sudden they're everything, and the Steelers fans know nothing. But it's just – anyway. But then our Browns fans came to the defense. He's going to have a gold jacket. I'm like, he can have a gold jacket, but he still has zero playoff games.
He never
was good enough for his team to have people around him good enough to get to the playoffs. And you chose to stay. You're loyal to the
he was loyal to them, but he took enough of their money that they couldn't, that they didn't get enough around him. But hey, good for you, Joe.
And like someone said in the live chat, I always liked him, but was really surprised he would say that. You know, I did too. I thought, you know, Joe Thomas had a good thing, but that's just, to me, that's so that wasn't being an analyst like he is now. That was
being a Browns homer.
That is postseason envy.
That's probably what it was.
Postseason envy. You know, the Steelers, even when they have a team, you know,
that's supposed to be terrible.
This team was not good. And this team, how many people picked them? You know, and they're like, well, didn't you pick them to win 11 games? I did pick them to win 11 games. And I felt, I did not feel very good about that whenever their offensive line and all the shuffling that it did. Because, like I said many times, when you thought it was going to be DeCastro and Banner was going to be fine and be an anchor next to him, and it was like Kendrick Green could be the center if he outplays and deserves and wins that job and everything else. You know, I wasn't looking the Steelers going into the playoffs have with J.C. Hassenauer, John LeGlue, and Dan Moore Jr. from the middle to the left side.
That's not
what you were thinking. So I thought they were going to win more because I thought their line could come together and everything. And then it got worse. And that's when I was like, I don't even feel good about my 11 anymore, of course. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to keep cheering them on. And they came a lot closer to my 11 than they did to a lot of other people's 5 and 6 that they predicted out there. So,
For the record, I said best case scenario win-wise for the Steelers was 9.
I thought
the Steelers would go 9-8 and be crossing their figures to maybe get into the playoffs. Hey, guess where, you know, and for me that was a best case scenario. Guess where the Steelers finished? 9-7-1, crossed their fingers, got a little help, and made it into the playoffs.
They were
fairly close to the team I expected them to be.
And honestly, if you're a Steelers fans out there, you're catching flack from Browns fans or Ravens fans. Do you know what you say? It's very simple. Do you want to know why the Steelers made the playoffs?
Because they went.
Because the Ravens and Browns were so bad, they gave the Steelers 4 wins.
Yep.
They only had 9 wins, and 4 of them were against the Ravens and the Browns. And if you're saying they shouldn't have been in the playoffs, then it's because your team suck. That's why. I mean, honestly. I mean, they got 4 wins. I mean, normally, who do the Steelers rack their wins up against? The Bengals. They went 0-2 against the Bengals. Okay? So, yeah. Do you think we've talked enough about this game?
Sure have. Yep.
Yeah. So, time to start looking forward. It was frustrating.
We are now going into post. I was going to say postseason, but no, not postseason. So, off-season, I guess I should say now. We are off-season Steelers talk now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, looking back over the season, I'm just real quick. If you were to tell me, all right, Juju's going down in week 5, Stephon Tuitt never coming back, Tyson Alualu gets hurt a couple games in, offensive line, DeCastro doesn't even make it to training camp. They got to go pick up a free agent who no one wanted in by June, and that's going to be the anchor of your offensive line. Chooks is staying at right tackle. Your 4th-round rookie is going to be your starting left tackle all season, and Kevin Dotson, they're going to give him a hard time to start the season. He's going to come out and he's going to play all right, and then he's going to get hurt, and they're going to just shuffle guys in and out there. And the guy that you thought would they drafted that could maybe step up and grab that center position, he ended up playing it all season by default. That was their offensive line.
Yeah, it was like. For you and I, remember we kept talking going into the season. We couldn't even grade them at the end of the preseason. We were like, you know, they still got an incomplete grade from us.
Yeah.
We still didn't know what they were going to be. Yeah. You know what? Because of injuries, basically, they came nowhere close to even be able to live up to what I hoped to be the expectations for them. And a lot of that was because of injuries.
Yeah. And they overexceeded so many others' expectations. And you can't say it was because of a weak schedule, because coming into the season, it was the hardest schedule of any team in the NFL going into the season based on last year's records. Now, were the Ravens as good? I'll tell you what, weren't the Ravens playing for the one seed when they played the Steelers the first time? Or were they the one seed? They were up there because they had that super great record.
They were up there.
You know, I don't know. I can tell you exactly. I can't remember if they were the one seed then or not, but they were at least way up there. They were at the top of the North. I don't know if they were the one seed in the AFC, but when they played the Steelers, they were 8-3 going into that game. 8-3 and went 8-9. I remember when it got to the Ravens' last four games, we're like, they might not win another game. And they didn't. They didn't. Yeah. You know, they dropped the last six. The Steelers started that streak. The Steelers ended that streak for them, or finished off that streak, not ended it. That's the better way to say it. You know, yeah, Lamar got hurt in there and everything, but they were dealing with injuries and they were winning some games earlier that they shouldn't have. But that's just really, when you really look back at how the season played out, then you're like, oh yeah, this is going to be the case. Oh yeah, this is going to be the case. If you would have told me what would have happened by the end of the season with who was there and who was available and what was happening, whenever I went to start the season, I'd have said,
well, yeah, this team only wins five games.
They get five wins. And then they did. They won nine. Well, technically 9.5, if you really want to look at it. So I think, even though like I had more expectations for them, the way things played out, you still kind of feel like they overachieved. But man, now you got to look in and look. Everything's now moving forward. Everything's now. It is what it's got to be. I mean, the Steelers lose Sunday night. What do I have Monday morning? My first mock draft Monday.
here's the thing, though, and here's the frustrating part for me, okay, is where we were looking at things last year at this time, you know, trying to figure out, oh, what are the Steelers going to move forward? Yeah. We got some of the same questions.
Yeah.
Because last year, you know, the big question was offensive line. Guess what? That's still the big question going in for next year is offensive line.
You are exactly right. And a lot of people – see, I wanted them to address the offensive line high in the draft. I made no qualms about it. I thought they didn't because when the whole process started, I'm like, not Najee Harris. No, don't take the run back the first round. I said that from the very beginning of the draft stuff. There were certain people on Twitter that I had to – I didn't block them. I didn't unfollow. I muted them. They're still muted, actually, because I was tired of all the Najee Harris talk. I'm like, what this team needs is offensive line. But the team needed a lot. So what they did is people like, see, they should have taken an offensive lineman. And I still think you'll never know what would have happened if Christian Darrisaw wouldn't have gone one pick before the Steelers picked.
Yeah.
Would they have taken Darrisaw or Harris? I'm fine with them having Harris. I love Najee Harris. I love that they have him. I knew the offensive line was going to be a problem. And the offensive line is still a problem. And for those people like, see, that's what they should have done last year. Sure. Get some more rookie offensive linemen. I mean, I'm sorry. I have to think that Dan Moore Jr. played more like a second round pick than he did a fourth round pick.
Yeah, so do I.
You know, what a baseline he gave.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, he definitely, what I want to say, overachieved. He exceeded his draft position.
Yes. And a lot of people said, and because it was such a tackle deep draft, in any other draft, he might have been a second rounder, you know, because it was a very tackle rich draft. And so you could say, oh, he's a fourth round pick. But that was based on the year he came out, a very good tackle draft. And I feel like he did fine. I want to dive more into him in the offseason. So to me, he was one of the more pleasant surprises as a rookie. But like people that were complaining about the Steelers offensive line and see why they should have drafted this person or that person, this person, that person. I'm like, that's fine. But would you have been happy with the Steelers handing the ball off to Benny Snell Jr. and them targeting Zach Gentry with Kevin Rader as the other option?
Yeah.
You know, no. I'm not regretting that the Steelers have those two players on the team.
No, you know? we got good weapons there.
And guess what the Steelers don't have to worry about next year?
Those weapons.
Running back and tight end. Because I'm sorry, Gentry even came into his own. I mean, he's really coming into that, how do I say it? More of a, like, I'm not going to say a Jesse James. Probably more of a Matt Spaeth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hold on.
If you recall. Give me,
never mind. I won't try to go back. I was going to go back further, mm-hmm. but I'm going to draw a blank on that for a minute, so we can just go on.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that the Steelers have to completely, you know, only use the draft to work on their offensive line. That's not the case.
No.
You know, a lot of times people are like, oh, the Steelers are going to take this or that. That's what they need to take in the first round. And I agree. And I do the mock draft Mondays, and some of them I throw stuff out there. Like this week, I picked the CBS draft. It was Malik Willis from Liberty, you know, that they had going to the Steelers there. Very athletic, very, you know, probably the most athletic quarterback. If you're wondering about that, you can check behindthesteelcurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. That article came out on Monday. Every Monday, I'll just highlight a different mock draft. These aren't mock drafts I come up with myself. All it's doing is highlighting a national mock draft is what I do. But I remember 2 years ago, everyone was like, the Steelers have to go tight end. They need to go tight end at the top of the draft. They need to go tight end at the top of the draft. They didn't. Because they picked up Eric Ebron as a free agent, and it changed the need. Now, was Eric Ebron all world everything? But might have even been better than what they did. Some people even look back and say, just think, if the Steelers would have stayed where they did and not trade up for Devin Bush, they would have had Noah Fant instead, because that's who the Broncos
picked
in the Steelers' place. And the Steelers would have had a second round pick to have something else. You like it? You know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, if Devin Bush doesn't get injured, it might be different. And Coach Tomlin talked about this because we're talking about the stuff going forward. He said when it came to Zach Banner and Devin Bush, when you look at those types of knee injuries, the next year isn't necessarily the one that you really want to judge them on. Now, that to me made me happy and sad. That makes me happy with maybe there's still some hope for Devin Bush to get confidence in that knee and return to what he was doing before he got injured, because I liked what he was doing before he got injured. Okay, that's one. But the other thing is, if Zach Banner, if he's still a question mark, I don't get how you can have a $5 million tackle who didn't start a single game this season, even after coming off the injured list, and has started one game at tackle, not counting when he started as jumbo.
Right.
I don't see how you can do that. Nope. I don't see how they can really afford to do that. So, and that's what the Steelers would save if they cut Banner. So Coach Tomlin said something that I made sure Brian went in the article for this podcast, he started off with it. Cause I said, this is what I'm going to highlight. Coach Tomlin brought up something, and this is something I've always agreed with and argued against Steelers fans about it all the time. And that is, you don't change just for the sake of changing. That's not Coach Tomlin. That's not the Steelers organization. You know, so many people are like, they just need a change at, you know, defensive coordinator. They just need a change at play call. They just need a change at head coach. You don't change just for the sake of changing, because, you know, they need new ideas. I always go back to, I think I put this in a comment of an article. Barney Stinson learned it the hard way, where he always said new is always better. New is not always better. They made him drink grape scotch instead of 45-year Glenn McKenna because new is not always better. That's a How I Met Your Mother reference. In case
yeah, I do that.
So new isn't always better. So some people just want them to shake everything up or do new. They're going to have to. It has to happen. But changing just for the sake of change doesn't work. Do you agree?
Change just for the sake of change is not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
That's, yeah. We have had three head coaches since 1969.
Yeah.
Because we, we don't say we're going to, well, we need a change, so we're just going to change the head coach. That, you know, that that's what, you know, that's the Browns philosophy. And, you know,
yeah,
Joe Thomas can tell you how far, you know, that got them while he played there. Yeah. Wasn't the playoffs.
All his success. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that the Steelers aren't going to have some change. It will be very it would be a very calculated change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you expecting to, what are you expecting to see change wise? I expect there to be some change. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be.
I expect there to be one huge change.
And what's that change? Go ahead. Any idea?
Quarterback position.
Okay.
We all know it. That's the biggest thing that's going to change with this team this offseason. That's a huge change. Like Coach Tomlin talked about it. Let's see if I can bring up the quote here. He talked about, you know, the quarterback position. He had all three options on the table, whether on the team, free agent, draft. We'll actually talk about this at the end. But one thing that he said about that is he's excited about the challenge of finding the next quarterback. Every season that Mike Tomlin has been the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, he knew going into the next season that Ben Roethlisberger was his quarterback. And now he knows he's not.
Yeah.
That's different. That's a big change. That is something that we haven't seen as Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
Don't let Mike Tomlin totally fool you with his Tomlinisms, though.
Yeah.
That concerns him.
Yeah.
Now, he's not going to, not to the point where he's going to, you know, where he's mm-hmm. off trembling in the corner because he has no clue what he's going to do with quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a concern. Where are the Steelers going to go quarterback-wise? Okay? Guess how much we know where they're going quarterback-wise right now.
Well, we know technically they have one under contract and one that is a restricted free agent that they could choose to keep.
Correct.
That's
about all we know. We know very little. We know very little.
Josh Dobbs is a free agent, but I have a feeling he's going to be, you know, possibly kept around depending on how far into the quarterback well the Steelers dip. Are they going to go multiple places to have various competitions? Are they even going to choose to offer a tender to Haskins? I don't know that I'd spend that kind of money on him. Or I would see if he wants to just sign again and not have to do the restricted free agent tender. There's got a lot of questions there, but let's hit the main thing.
And we can all sit here and speculate about all the Steelers that they could go quarterback in the draft. They could, but guess what? They're not going to if they end up signing a free agent somewhere.
Yeah. One thing I'm not in favor of is trading. I am not in favor of trading for a quarterback because
I agree.
For two reasons. Here's why. One, if they're good enough to trade for, you are going to have to give up a ton to get them. Two, if you don't have to give up that much, are they really worth it?
Correct.
That's my thought on trading for a quarterback. If you want to sign someone to big money, I get it. So some people want to talk about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Both of those would have to be trades. And I don't see the Steelers giving up the multiple first-round picks that it would take to get either one of those.
Correct.
You know, I'm not saying it's bad to dream. I don't like giving up because you've got too much you need to build other than quarterback to give up that much. Now, if you have someone that's a free agent out there that you could go sign, that, you know, if one of those guys was a free agent, I'd be like, dude, I'm all for that. But I don't like having to pay them the money and giving up the capital to get them. That's the problem right now.
Yep.
So, are you ready? I was going to bring up the super chat, but that's something we wanted, one of the biggest things we wanted to talk about.
Well, then bring it up.
You're ready to start. I didn't want to cut you off from the quarterback talk.
No, we'll come back and hit
that at the very end. Okay.
I don't need to dip into the quarterback stuff. We're going to be able to dip into the quarterback stuff over the next 2 months.
So let's talk about some things that were brought up today. And we'll start it with Steel Dog 88's $5 a tip job. Tip Jar. Thank you very much, Steel Dog. We appreciate that. He says, if Steelers don't renew Keith Butler, what about going outside and trying for Vic Fangio at defensive coordinator? I don't think the Steel, if the, well, let's back that up a little bit. We're going to answer your question, but we got to set it up a little bit.
Yes.
Because Coach Tomlin said this today in his press conference. What he said was he had conversation with Coach Butts, you know, that's Keith Butler, that's the Golem, earlier on about this being his last season with Pittsburgh. So this sounds like last offseason. He didn't say exactly when he had this conversation, but there's been talk for a while that this could be his last season. His contract is up. That's kind of what the Steelers do. I'm not saying they should move on from Keith Butler, but I completely understand if Keith Butler is ready for something different, whether he wants to take a break, whether he wants somewhere fresh. I can see that. Oh, I'm sorry. What was the – I can't come up with it. What was the really cheesy line that Gwyneth Paltrow came up with when they split? Some kind of uncoupling. Oh, it was kind of something uncoupling. You know, I can see that with Keith. A lot of people are like, somebody has to go. I hate that line. They have to go. No, they don't have to go. You might feel like you want them to go, but they don't have to. The Steelers decide if they have to, and I have a feeling any of these decisions are going to be tough decisions for them. So they don't feel like they have to do anything. So, what was it? Conscious uncoupling. Thank you.
Ivermectin horse dewormer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what it was. That it was the conscious uncoupling. Yeah. I'm getting people from Facebook saying it too. Yeah.
Yep.
That could be kind of a parting of the ways. Do you see the Steelers promoting defensive coordinator from within?
They could. First of all, one name. Yeah. It would be the only person they consider is Terrell Austin.
Yeah, Terrell Austin, if that's what they wanted to do.
Okay. Here's the thing. I think it's funny that it came up today about Butler and the talk of retirement. Mm-hmm. The first thing that went through my mind when that happened was, is Keith Butler about to get Bruce Arians?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because Bruce Arians retired. We see how well he's done in retirement.
For a week and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll tell you though, there it's coming up in the live chat here and there. You know, the initial from Steel Dog 88 was, you know, what do we think about Vic Fangio? Vic Fangio is fantastic defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So is Brian Flores.
Now, Brian Flores is who I would ultimately
pick too. But that honestly, in my opinion,
how has another team not hired him yet?
There you
how
go.
How has he not been the choice?
Exactly.
I can't believe he hasn't been hired because, you know, I like as soon as everyone said, you know, when the Coach Trubisky was fired, how Coach Tomlin was the last remaining black head coach in the NFL. I'm like, yeah, that's going to last about a week. And if it lasts more than a week, then shame on anyone for not hiring Brian Flores faster.
Because
there's no way he should have lost that job.
No, he should not have lost
the job. If he's not hired yet, it's because he hasn't decided which team he wants. Because any of those teams would be foolish to not hire him. Sorry. And rant.
and rant.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some guys from the outside you could go and get. Now, the question is, how often do the Steelers do that? They do it here and there, but not very often.
But don't they have a tendency to somehow get former head coaches to fill coordinator jobs?
Yeah, they have.
That Dick LeBeau.
Yeah.
Todd Haley.
That's
you know, those kinds of hires. I could see that as a hire if it's not Terrell Austin. But at the same time, like Minka Fitzpatrick said today, he's kind of worried that they're good. He says he doesn't want to talk up Coach Austin too much because he's afraid other teams are going to try to take him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Terrell Austin's the guy. I don't know if that's the guy because you're going to – I don't know. I kind of want to see how it all plays out with Butler first. Jeffrey Benedict did a great job last week outlining it, how nobody schemes up pressure on the quarterback even without blitzing. like Keith Butler.
Yeah.
Like, was Keith Butler good because he had TJ Watt? Guess what? Keith Butler was getting a lot of sacks before he had TJ Watt. So is TJ Watt also a product of Keith Butler? It's one of those, to me, it's a chicken and egg thing. It's not a matter who comes first. It doesn't, they're both good at what they do, and that helps right. each other look better. Could TJ Watt take a step back without Coach Butler? He could. Could he do just as good and get better? Yeah, because he's TJ freaking Watt. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I could see a Vic Fangio of somebody like that. Absolutely. I could see that.
Yeah. So could I. Hey, I want to bring up too, because I'm seeing a little bit of banter and, well, just talk back and forth in the live chat talking about, you know, oh, we're here. Keith Butler's going to retire.
It's not a good deal yet.
No, it's not. But see, I heard it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
93.7 The Fan mm-hmm. was reporting mm-hmm. it. Yes. Was yeah. reporting that yesterday.
Yeah.
I almost do it in the Slack channel for you all, but
yeah, well, no, I had heard that as rumors, but you get 93.7 The Fan. Sometimes they have stuff and it doesn't pan out.
Exactly.
They don't have to get it right.
No, that's what I thought. It's like, they're wanting to be first and not necessarily right, which is why I didn't put anything out there. So then, but then I thought it was then interesting when Tomlin said it, kind of talked about it in his press conference today. It's like, huh. Backed up the story from yesterday a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of did. Well,
I wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
See, this is the fun when you get to the Steelers offseason, that we get to sit here and read the tea leaves and speculate and all that. And nobody, everybody thinks they've got it right and almost nobody gets it right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you could be like a, you know, another Steelers reporter who, you know, just casually says something behind a paywall about, oh, well, there's a belief that this could be a possibility. And then when a national report comes out about it is likely to happen, well, I broke that story forever ago. I'm like, well, first of all, it's hidden behind a paywall. Second of all, no, you said possibly, maybe it might, you know, come on. Yeah. Anyway. But then you really wanted credit, like you broke something before. If you really would have broke something before, you wouldn't have been the only person saying it, you know. Kind of one of those things, you know. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, the fact that Coach Tomlin brought it up at all, if I had to pick right now, do you think he's back next year?
No.
No, because if he would have been, I don't think Coach Tomlin would have brought it up at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. I got to hit this super chat before I lose it. Another $5 from Big Rush. He says, the Steelers need to step into the new age. The teams who are winning games are aggressive and free agent and trading. Go after creative defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator. Get aggressive.
I disagree with the first part.
Yeah.
Okay. Winning the winning teams are out there and aggressive in free agency.
No.
The number one team in the NFC is probably one of the teams that is less active in free agency than even the Steelers.
Yeah, you mean the number one seed, right?
That's the number one seed.
Yes. So because you can argue
the Green Bay Packers.
So the only thing about that, the only thing that could make that true is you go, well, look at Tampa Bay, that's all about Tom Brady and his disciples. You know, those who followed him there to try to ride on his coattails. That's the only thing that was. If you can go out and you know, and how often does that happen? Yeah, the same thing kind of happened with Peyton Manning, but not as many people followed him to Denver. But don't tell me people didn't go there because it was him. You can talk about something like that. Now, but how many times are teams that go out and are huge spenders in free agency, does it pay off? I still don't see championships in Cleveland. I still don't see championships in Washington. Since they've started doing that, you know, I still don't see championships in Dallas. That hasn't really been the case. And sometimes you can get some flashes in the pan with that, but not always. So, but honestly, when you want to talk about
your being team
creative and aggressive as a philosophy of your coordinators, I 100% agree with that.
Actually, the teams that, in my opinion, the teams I see turn the most around in free agency by doing more in free agency, believe it or not, tend to be fixing their offensive and defensive lines in free agency. That's where the that's where it's to be made in free agency. That's where you can go. So, oh, Big Rush, I see what you put there. Said it's not about breaking the bank, but we need to go after some.
This is exactly right.
Yes. That is 100%.
This is kind of more what he meant. This is not about breaking the bank, but we need to go after some of the needs.
Some of our needs in free agency. And Big Rush, if you're thinking, hey, maybe we could do a little work on that offensive line and maybe that defensive line in free agency, then I agree, because actually that's where I feel you get your best bang for your buck.
Yes. And last year, the Steelers still managed to get a little bit in free agency, you know, and they still managed a little bit of a trade. I mean, they did the Joe Schobert trade. I don't know if Schobert's going to pan out. They could save over $7 million if they let him go. I think if anything, they redo his deal. If they keep him around, I don't see how they can keep him around with the deal he has right now. You know, and then the Witherspoon trade, which we all thought was terrible until everyone thought it was amazing. You know, you sign a guy like even like a Joe Hague and a Miles Killebrew and players like that. Look how far the Steelers were over the cap when the offseason started.
Yeah.
They aren't this year. Now, granted, they don't have enough players to fill out their roster. And yeah, it's going to get used up quick. But it's not that you can't – it's not like you're having to cut something to do anything. That this is where they need to do it. The thing that gives me the most hope right now, and we haven't even got into the offensive coordinator, and I don't know that we will, because that's a whole different story. We might save that for another time.
I think we should.
What gives me the most hope is that you look at a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, and you look at a team like the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals, yes.
Both teams were still in the playoffs. They took a terrible offensive line and completely rebuilt it in 1 year.
Yes.
Now, granted, the Chiefs drafted two players that a lot of us, including me, behind the steel curtain, really wanted in Creed Humphrey and Hill. Liked both those guys. But they also made the trade for Brown. They also signed, you know, the Bengals did this. I mean, and the Bengals didn't even use their first round pick on a lineman. We thought they were foolish. Oh my goodness, you're gonna get Joe Burrow killed again. But they did the other things they needed to do, and they built that lineup where, I mean, honestly, if you look at results, I think their offensive line you could say all the Pro Bowlers and stuff on Cleveland. The Steelers weren't getting 9 sacks in a game against the Bengals, were they?
No, the Bengals line was rebuilt, and it wasn't made perfect. It wasn't made to that, I don't know, you could say that superstardom that supposedly we had in the Browns offensive line or going on. But it was, they rebuilt it solid, and solid enough that their air quotes, franchise quarterback was able to work and move the offense forward with that line.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So the thing is, I think what's going to frustrate me is if you come around and the Steelers don't sign the fruit, they don't keep some of their players, because we're going to talk about that in the future. We're going to talk about who they should retain and who they shouldn't. That'll be for another time. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about it on a lot of our podcasts, but this is more the brother discussion. Those are things to discuss. You know, spend the money to keep the players that are going to help you. Because, I mean, last year, look, they just couldn't, you know. And if the DeCastro thing hadn't met, you're like, but wow, they even rolled over. They look like they can roll over more than $7 million in the next year. Well, they used void years, which allowed some of that money to be rolled over. And two, that whole DeCastro thing screwed everything up. If they'd have known about DeCastro, do you think they might have been able to try to sign Mike Hilton? If they would have known about DeCastro, do you think they might have been going after a different offensive lineman? You know, all these opportunities they didn't have because they didn't know about the situation until freaking June. So to me, that was the first, you know, shot to the groin. You know what I mean? That was the first groin of the Steelers.
Say after this year, don't say groin injury.
You know what I mean? That was, you know, if that messed up so much stuff. But now I don't think the Steelers are going to have as hard a decisions when it comes to that this year of, oh, wow, we have so little. We've got to try to squeeze out all we can with what we have. You don't have to squeeze quite as hard. It's not like you can go spend money on anything. We don't squeeze as hard. So I'm going to be disappointed if they don't really go out and do anything significant with the offensive line and free agency and then turn around and take an outside linebacker in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, something or a wide receiver. Not that they don't need a wide receiver, you know, because we'll see how that all plays out too.
What my thing do, is
prioritize what it.
What they do in free agency added to what they do in the draft needs, you know, in my eyes, has to equal it does equal their vision. Okay. Yeah. So I'm with you. If they don't take care of some of the offensive line needs in free agency and then they turn around and wait and do it late in the draft, then what I'm saying is I'm afraid we're right back right where we were with the offensive line again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we will see.
You've got, you know, and some people are like, oh, the quarterback of the future, quarterback of the future. I'm all right. I don't think that the Steelers need to have a Hall of Fame quarterback in 2022. Would it be great if they did? Absolutely. But more important, they got to have the guys to protect them.
I know we're running out of time here.
If you've got to get Mason Rudolph back there doing what he's, you know, doing just what Mason Rudolph does for a year, because everything that you have, you invested in finally getting the guys up there to protect whoever you're going to have, I am okay with that. And some people probably think I'm crazy. I don't want to see that. I'd rather see that than have a high draft pick or a big profile free agent come in and be getting killed and having to throw the ball in 2.2 seconds because they don't have a line where they can do anything else. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah. So I had an interesting little discussion with our father tonight.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Did he want us to trade TJ Watt again?
No, he did not.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
Yeah, he's eating crow on that one. It's like, no, but he was, he said something out there tonight, but it was not related to what I was getting ready to tell you. So I'll try to remember and bring it up another time. But the one thing that came up and I brought up that I hope Steeler fans and people understand, okay? Go back and, you know, look at the National Football League every year from, you know, say from 2000 to now, and look at who the starting quarterbacks were throughout the league in each of those years. Mm-hmm. And what you will be able to see is a large drop off from number six on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are typically no more than five to six top tier quarterbacks in the league every year.
Mm-hmm.
We have been very lucky that in the last 18 years, you know, we've spent many of those years with one of them.
Yeah. And his first Super Bowl, he was not one of them.
Correct.
Yeah.
And this year he was not one of them.
Yeah.
And things like that. So what, you know, it would be great if we could go right from one of them, you know, or someone who had been one of them and been to the next person who's going to be one of them. The chances of that are small. Mm-hmm. Whether we do it throughout, you know, through free agency or the draft or wherever. Okay. Probably not. So the question is who do we get this as good as we can? Because you know what? The Baltimore Ravens won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer playing quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based who do we get
on a good defense and a solid running game?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, we don't have to necessarily have the next young Ben Roethlisberger. I'd love to, but I don't necessarily need to have that. We need to have who can fit in and do enough to go with the rest of our team so that we can be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And believe it or not, you know what my dad said when I, you know what our dad said, you know what dad said when I said, uh-oh, you know, there's really only ever about six top tier quarterbacks in the league any year. You know, he sat and he thought about it the first second. He's like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
And even so, even though you have one, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win at all. That's I mean, right. Aaron Rodgers right. is probably going to get the league MVP, and he's won one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's just how it goes. We are running over for what we're going to be doing here in this offseason, but we have to finish the way we always do. We have to finish with a question. I ask you the question, then we bring up everyone's answers. And you're like, oh, shoot, we still need time to do that, don't you? But I will say one thing, sure. something that Jeff Hartman shared earlier tonight was apparently on Instagram, Tyson Alualu was talking yep. about being back. He is under contract with the Steelers for next year. They would have to cut him. Otherwise, I don't think he costs that much. And he says that he's, you know, even at 35, he's ready to come back and play after not having all those games on him. I'm good with that. Get him in there, get him to camp like that. That'll help some. Hopefully there's not much of a fall off after, you know, usually when you hear ankle injury, defensive lineman, but that much time, you know, almost a year before he has to come back. Hopefully it should be all yep. right. So here's the question. Remember the rules. You can't give me your answer until I put the question in the live chat because Rich has to answer it first, and then I'll bring them all up. Here's the question. Okay. This is just for fun because we talked about quarterback earlier. I'm going to give you three options.
Yep.
The starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one of 2022. I'm not asking for a name. I'm asking for it to be one of three places. Is it on the roster now, a free agent, or draft?
Okay.
The starting quarterback. That's going to be the question. I'm going to bring it up in the live chat. You can go ahead and bring your answer. Not long-winded answers. I'm probably going to skip over. I want one of those three. I just want one of the words. Yep. Roster, free agent, or draft. Rich, your answer. And guess what? Sorry, if you bring it up, not only that, nope. you get put in a timeout.
Oh, sorry.
Timeout. You're getting timed out because you're not following the rules.
That's right.
You can't even comment for 5 minutes.
Oh, these are
timeout.
Wow, everybody, man, we must have a lot of people that aren't used to our show.
Man, it's not like it didn't even work.
They're all over the place.
Yeah. My good, Rich.
Good Lord.
See? My goodness, Facebook people.
Facebook folks.
Guess what? I don't want to have to block you because then you'll never comment again. But come on. Stop answering the question because I'm not going to bring you up your answer later.
No.
So here you go. Oh, my goodness. And they're still popping up there.
And it's all, like and it's almost all Facebook. Goodness. You know what?
Almost all Facebook.
We're just going to have to basically say when we go through these in a minute, you're not bringing up any Facebooks.
You ruin it for all the people watching on Facebook right now.
Everybody's been ruined.
You get ruined because you can't, guys can't follow directions.
Can't follow directions. So,
Rich, to me, is it, and notice I didn't put trade. Should I throw trade in there as a fourth option?
No. No, because I think you and I have pretty much ruled out. I don't think the Steelers are going to trade for a quarterback. Yeah. People are going to laugh at this one a little bit, probably mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
Because this is probably what a lot of people think might be most unlikely. But I am going to go with free agent.
Free agent.
Yes,
I am. Interesting one. I'm going to go roster.
Okay.
I'm going to go roster. I mean, I would love free agent, but
That was actually my second choice.
Yeah. My goodness, I'm putting so many people in timeout now.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. And now the question's out there. Facebook users, I'm sorry. None of your responses are going to come up. So here we go. They waited. Oh, people are all ready to go. Sean Manahan says roster. Okay. Whoa. Wow. They came up crazy.
Yeah. They came up.
Michael O'Malley, roster. SteelDog88, roster. George Teston, roster. BF Bud, on the roster now. Okay, Ryan Brown, roster now. Brad Jewett, roster. Kobe Grant, roster. I think I got a lot of people agreeing with me. Steelers-Pittsburgh, roster. Okay. Bernardo Vasquez, he's unfortunately on the roster. Okay. Do I bring up that one? This is a regular, and I didn't think he did it early.
I don't think he did it early because he is a regular.
I'm going to give it to you. Free agent, a very mobile one. I could see that. I'm just saying ivermectin. I'm just leaving it there. I'm not reading the rest. Free agent. Well, unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers is not a free agent. Moneybags says roster. Okay. Steelers World says roster. Okay. Liberty. Where's that?
Whoa.
Liberty. There you go. Library.com. I guess so.
All right, Library.com.
Roster. Okay. James. Oh, oh, wait, that was a Facebook one. Mean Joe. Nope, he didn't have an answer. I was getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Turk. Hollinger. Draft. There you go. Okay. So, and now, this wasn't an answer, but this was a reminder. Remember, Sean Manahan said Ben's rookie year, the week one starter was Maddox.
Correct.
Okay. So there you go. Michael Mellon said he had it freeloaded. Joey Jr., free agent. Okay. LibertyLibrary.com even throws in the $5 tip jar. So we're going to say it again.
Make sure.
Roster.
Roster. Okay.
So yep. So right there, I'm even counting Josh Dobbs in the roster because he was on IR. But it could be one of those three guys that finished the roster. Maybe some people were even still thinking Ben Roethlisberger. Okay. Havoc Pleasant said free agent. Okay. Felicia. Hey, Felicia.
Hey, Felicia. Thanks for taking my side.
Yeah. Now some people are throwing out names, but that's not how it works. Okay. Nope. M. Marcus 39 on the roster. Okay. Mark Tobin says draft 2023. Ooh, but that's not for 2022 starter. But I understand what you're saying. Thanks, Mean Joe finally did say it. Draft.
Okay. Got Mean Joe in there.
Am I getting any more? Tom Valera says free agent, a quarterback we didn't want. Bibba Boone says free agent. Okay. Bernardo Velasquez says retired, bringing Andrew Luck out of retirement. So yeah, some of those are some good answers. So, but this is going to be the rules. We're going to do this every week. We'll ask a question at the end. The rules are you're not allowed to answer until we say go, which means I put the question out there. That was fun.
Just
putting people in timeout. Some of them were able to come back, but that's just the rules. And we've said that for weeks now. Hey, if you do it, if you jump the gun, we'll do that. And unfortunately, the Facebook people, you kind of got it ruined by too many of you to start, and we couldn't keep track of all of you. But that was fun. We'll do it better next time. But remember, we're going nowhere. We keep saying this on all of our podcasts now that the season's over. That does not mean that the BTSC season is over. Technically, we're kicking off 2022 now. Yep. Because, yes, we're in January. We're halfway through. You know, we already watched the ball drop, all that other stuff. But the 2022 season is now where we're headed. And we're going to be here. We're going to have this, you're going to have the same morning audio only shows. You're still going to have a very similar lineup of noon shows. They might just be shifted around to who's what. The names might be different. The YouTube / Facebook live shows are going to almost all be the same. Know Your Enemy will go back to the curtain call because there's no enemy to know. And I think there's no post game because there's no game to be post of. So there will be a different show there in its place. There we go. Rich, it kind of stinks to be moving on. But when you saw the struggles with this team, were you kind of excited that there's going to be a better chance to change it other than three practices every week and hope it goes different?
Yeah, exactly. We're now at the point where it's like, okay, we've known for a while what we have. Now it's a matter of not just, okay, can we change something in the game plan? Now it's like, okay, what are we going to change as an organization moving forward to get ready for that 2022 season? Yeah. And you know what I say about the 2022 season?
What do you say about that, big bro?
Can't wait.